All right. Turn to the Song of Solomon, chapter 8. The Song of Solomon, chapter 8. I'll read one part of verse 5 for this morning. Song of Solomon, chapter 8, verse 5. Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning on her beloved? Amen. Notice that the question is not, look to who.
Yeah. You're right.
We do not look to any man or any woman.
That's right.
We look only to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But the question is, who is this?
That's right.
That cometh up from the wilderness, leaning on her beloved. That's my title. Who is this? Who is this? Mm-hmm. First of all, this is someone with a beloved.
Yes, sir. That's right.
There are a people in this world that have Jesus Christ as their beloved, even from all eternity.
Amen.
The scriptures are clear. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And who is this Christ? He is the beloved.
Amen.
The one in whom we were accepted even before the foundation of the world.
Yes, sir.
Men talk about accepting Christ, but that is not the language of Scripture.
Exactly.
Men and women must be accepted in the Beloved.
Amen.
And anyone who ever finds the Beloved as theirs in time had him as their Beloved even in eternity, even though they did not know so. Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness? It is one for whom Jesus Christ stood as the beloved even before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
And this is also someone with the beloved that's in covenant union with them. Paul says, I speak of Christ and the church, of a mystery. What is that? It is Christ and his church. The church, rather, is Christ's bride.
Amen.
She is the one that's loved of Christ and brought into intimate union with him. Who is this that cometh out up from the wilderness?
Yes.
Who is the one that leans upon her beloved? Only one who has him as their beloved.
Yes. Amen.
Secondly, this is someone who is in the wilderness. Did not God say he found his people where?
Yeah.
In a waste, howling wilderness.
Amen.
And God's portion is his people.
Yes.
Someone says, well, that's talking about Israel. That's exactly right. And he doesn't mean by that those were simply Jews.
Exactly. You're right.
Because they are, and this is true, when Paul penned it, didn't make it so, he penned it because it was so.
Yes.
He said, they are not all Israel which are of Israel.
Amen.
Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? It is someone who is in the wilderness. Here's the question. Have you ever been shown that you're in the wilderness?
Amen. That's right.
That's the question. A lot of people claim to have been saved, and they've never been lost.
Exactly. That's it.
A lot of people claim to have been clothed, they've never been stripped. The first thing, one of the first things God does in our experience in time by grace is he shows us that we are in the wilderness.
Yes, sir. That's right.
You don't just start believing the doctrines of grace.
No, you're right.
One of the first things you believe from God's holy word is there is none righteous, no, not one.
Amen.
There is none good.
Yeah.
There is none that understandeth, no, not one. They're all altogether become unprofitable. That's where we begin.
Yes,
we begin in the wilderness.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Mason, he was my beloved before eternity. But when Adam fell, he cast us all into the wilderness.
That's right.
And all men are there by nature, but not all men know that.
Exactly.
Think about this. Christ came to where we were terrestrially.
Yes, sir.
He actually came down to this ball of dirt in God's universe.
Yes, sir.
Look at what it says. Turn to, what is it? Luke chapter 2. And listen to these words. I know usually you don't hear these words except around what is called Christmas time. But think about it. He came. Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning on her beloved? So where are they both?
Yeah.
In the wilderness.
Exactly.
And he came down to this wilderness. Listen to what it says. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 8, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, not just to some Jews.
Right.
But also to some Gentiles.
Amen.
Not just to men, but also to women.
Yes, sir.
Not just to the rich, but also to the poor. Not just to slaves, but also to the free.
Amen.
For unto you is born this day, look at it, in the city of David.
Amen.
Mason, he came down to this waste, howling wilderness.
Amen.
And he did so in a body of flesh. He was born and it said, thou shalt call his name Emmanuel. Because that means what? Interpreted, it means God, think about it, with us.
Amen.
God with us. Christ came to where we are representatively.
That's right.
Look at what Paul said in Romans chapter 8. And just one verse there. He came to us representatively. Romans chapter 8, verse 3. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh,
yes,
God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh.
Amen.
I heard a preacher say some things several years ago, and it stuck with me for a long time. Think of this, the God of all glory, and I'm not quoting him now, but the God of all glory, that God that Isaiah, remember, seen in the
yeah.
temple high, lifted up?
Yes, sir.
And smoke filled the temple? That God of glory that Ezekiel saw in that great magnificent vision with the wheels turning and Mason and the lightnings and the flashings
yes.
and the thunders. This God came down and joined himself to the stink of human sweat.
That's right.
And I don't say that to try to be brash or anything.
No.
That God came down, and that God joined him to human excrement.
Mm-hmm.
Think of that.
Yeah.
He came back to where we were in the wilderness,
yes,
made in our likeness. Here is one who was impeccable. Here is one who was holy. Here is one who was sovereign. And yet he had flesh just like my fallen flesh. Though he did not have sinful flesh.
Amen.
His flesh was just like mine. His flesh was just like yours. Christ came to where we are representatively, yet he was still fully distinct.
Yes, sir.
Look at Hebrews chapter 7. And somebody says, preacher, explain all this to me. I can't do it. I'm not here to explain it. I'm here to proclaim it.
Amen.
And that portion Joe was talking about. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. There ain't no explaining that.
Exactly.
He didn't ask Martha, do you understand that?
No.
He said, believest thou this?
Amen.
Listen to what it says, Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 26. For such an high priest became us.
Yes, sir.
He was made like us. For such an high priest became us. Yet look at what it says. Who is holy.
Yes.
Harmless. Undefiled. Separate from sinners. And made higher than the heavens. And he did not need to daily offer up sacrifice for his own sins.
That's right.
He had no sin. In him was no sin. And he did no sin.
Amen.
Yet he came to the wilderness where we were. Not only did he come to us terrestrially, not only did he come to us representatively, but Jesus Christ came to where we are as we are.
Yes, Yes, sir.
It says in Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 7, it says that publicans and sinners came to him to do what?
Yeah.
To hear him.
Yep.
They came to him in the beginning to eat with him.
Yep. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Then they started gathering to do what?
To
hear him. Yeah. Oh, when a man or a woman begins to get an ear to hear, and an eye to see, and a heart to perceive, they will not be able to get away from the Word of God.
Amen.
Will not be able to escape it. It says he came, and what did he do? He gave this parable that if a person has 100 sheep and loses one, and it's lost where?
Yeah.
In the wilderness.
In the wilderness. That's right.
What does a good shepherd do?
Yeah.
The good shepherd goes himself. Where? Into the wilderness.
Amen.
Where the lost sheep is. And he searches until he finds that sheep. He lays it on his shoulders and he brings it all the way home. It's no wonder I can't help but lean, Joe. He's got me up here.
That's right.
You see that? Yeah. I can't help but lean, Paul, when he puts me up here.
Exactly.
Mac, when he lays me on his shoulders, all I can do is rest.
Amen.
Rest.
Amen.
On him. Think of it. The Apostle John, it said, lay on his breast at the supper.
Yes, sir.
Now, it doesn't tell us all this, but I can picture in my mind's eye, he's laying there, and Joe, he's feeling the rise and fall of the breathing of the Son of God.
Amen.
Yes, you imagine that? He's laying there, and possibly even as the dishes were clanking and they were eating that Passover, and possibly when a really quiet moment come, Mason, he could even hear thump, 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 couldn't he?
Yeah.
Laying on the breast of Jesus Christ. Oh, that I and you might be able to lay on his breast by faith.
Yeah.
You know why? Because he's not far away from you if you're a believer.
Amen.
He's got you on his shoulders.
That's right.
He's pulled you. He's drawn you in amongst his breast.
Yes,
Jesus Christ came to where we were as we were.
Yes, sir.
He did not look for any fitness in us. He did not look for any merit in us. He came to where we was in a waste, howling wilderness.
Amen.
Full of sin and deceit and hate and corruption. He came to where I was and he rescued me. He came to where you were and he rescued you. Yet the truth is, we are still in this wilderness.
That's right.
Isn't it? Who is this that cometh up? Not has come up. Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness?
Yeah.
Even the Apostle Paul said these words, and let me read them. I just want to read chapter 7. Paul didn't write John, did he? He wrote Romans. Romans chapter 7, verse 14. And look at the language. As he is penning these words, as the Holy Spirit is moving him, Ellen, to write those words, look at what he says. For we know that the law is spiritual. Does anybody doubt that he meant that right in the present tense?
Exactly.
Not the law used to be spiritual.
Yeah. Well,
the law is spiritual. It was right in the present tense.
Yes,
as I'm writing this, he said, we know that the law is spiritual, but I am what? Carnal, sold under sin. Do you see it? We're still in the wilderness.
Yes, sir.
But thank God he's right there with us in the wilderness.
Amen.
Look at what it says in verse 14. He says these words, not 14. Verse 18, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. We're still in the wilderness.
That's right.
But bless God, the Beloved is right there where we can lean upon him.
Amen.
Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, but doing what? Leaning. Leaning upon her Beloved. Look what he goes on to say. Verse 24. O wretched man that I used to be. Is that what he says?
Yes,
no, as he's moved by the Spirit of God. Having been an apostle for a few years now.
Exactly.
He still writes, O wretched man that I am.
Amen.
Who shall deliver me from this what? This waste howling wilderness.
There you go.
Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
He came to where we are. But thanks be to God, we are coming up from the wilderness.
Amen.
Are we not?
That's right.
You know, I know you've heard this before, and I may not get it exactly right, but you know, I am not what I used to be. And I'm still not what I ought to be. But bless God, one day I will be what I'm supposed to be.
Amen.
Jesus Christ has laid hold on us and is bringing us up from the wilderness. We're leaning on Him. You don't work your way out of the wilderness. You don't merit your way out of the wilderness. The Beloved must come to the wilderness where you are and draw you unto Himself. And when He does, you'll be glad to lean.
Amen.
You'll be happy to lean. You'll joy in leaning. Thank God we are coming up from the wilderness. Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness? It's someone who's leaning upon their Beloved. And it's that simple.
Amen.
And yet that profound.
Yes, sir.
At the same time. To lean upon Christ.
Yeah.
You know, think about it. Let me go to it again. All 12 disciples were not allowed to lay upon Christ's breast.
That's right.
Is that not so? One of those, we know, one of those was even a devil, an adversary from the beginning.
Exactly.
Oh, but those who are God's, He's always near to us all.
Amen.
Think about it. No one who has, this is not about someone who has leaned.
Yeah, that's right.
A lot of people talk about, well, I used to be in the wilderness. If you don't know, you're still in the wilderness. God ain't saved you yet.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because God, when God first begins to reveal to you where you are by nature, you will not get over that until you awake in His likeness.
Amen.
You just can't get away from it.
Amen.
It's not one who has leaned. It's one who is leaning.
Yeah.
Amen.
Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness? Leaning upon her Beloved. Secondly, those who are leaning, lean only on the Beloved.
Amen. That's right.
They ain't nothing else to lean on.
Exactly.
Now I'm going to say a few things to you, then I'm going to turn right around and say something else that some people are going to think is a contradiction. But I'm not coming up out of the wilderness because I attend the gathering of the saints.
That's right.
But if you're coming up out of the wilderness, you will attend the assembly of the saints.
That's right. Yes, sir.
I'm not coming up out of the wilderness because I leaned on Him.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
That's right.
I lean on Him because He is bringing me up out of the wilderness.
Amen.
He has laid me on His shoulders, and He will carry me all the way home. And He will say, rejoice with me. I have found my sheep that was lost. Mm. Paul said this. Beware of dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Beware of evil workers.
Mm-hmm.
Beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision that worship God in the Spirit and rejoice where? In Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
And what else thirdly? And have no confidence in the flesh. Why is it, Mason, that God continues to allow me to see the corruption of my flesh?
Yeah.
Why is that so? Why am I still so sinful? So that, Sandy, I will not lean upon myself.
Exactly.
Because if you think you can lean on yourself, you still ain't had eyes toward Jesus Christ.
That's right.
It's not that we're not talking about someone who has leaned. So that's what I believe the doctrines of grace. Aren't you still believing the doctrine of grace?
There you go.
Well, I used to love the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't you still love the Lord Jesus Christ?
That's it.
And I'll tell you this, we lean by faith.
Yeah. Yes.
We lean by faith. How do I know this? Because whatsoever is not of faith is sin.
That's right.
Exactly.
Now, yeah, he's talking about food and drink in that passage, Romans 14:23.
Yeah.
But you know what? He says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin.
Amen.
We lean by faith. We rest by faith.
Yes.
We walk. How? By faith.
Amen.
This leaning is faith. Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning upon their Beloved? Let me give you this. Now, I'm going to give you a quote by Art B. Neuenswander. Some of you probably remember Art. Some of you probably never met him. But this is a quote that Earl was really blessed by, and he had Paul put it on the internet. And listen to what it says. Here's what Art Neuenswander wrote. Do not mistake presumption for faith.
Amen.
Faith must have the clear statement of God.
Yeah.
You hear what it says?
Yeah.
Faith must have the clear statement of God. Presumption is content to assume things it supposes God might be or might do,
yeah,
but without the clear word of God concerning it.
Yeah.
Did you get that?
That's
a
right.
Very good statement.
Yes, it is. That's right.
And I'm going to try to illustrate this to you. And this will be the end of my message. And this will be how short it will be. Now, it's going to be a few minutes here. But here's the message. Who is this? Who is this that cometh up out of the wilderness leaning upon her beloved? I want to know, am I really one, Joe?
Yeah. That's right.
I don't want to presume I'm one.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't we read of those who presumed and shall knock?
Yeah.
And Jack, they're going to expect to get in.
Oh, yeah. You're right.
And the Lord of glory himself, the beloved, will turn them away.
Amen.
That frightens me.
Yes, sir.
This is serious business.
Yeah, exactly.
This ain't about just making some profession of faith. No. And let me tell you, oh God, give us an understanding. Open our understanding.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Now listen to me. I'm going to give you some illustrations of this. Let me read it again. Do not mistake presumption for faith. Faith must have the clear statement of God.
Amen.
Presumption is content to assume things it supposes God might be or God might do, but without the clear word of God concerning it.
Yeah.
If you ever thought to myself, oh, if I could concentrate more.
Yeah.
You ever thought that?
Oh, yeah.
It ain't about your concentration.
Exactly. That's right.
Nowhere in this book does it ever tell us concentrate.
No, it doesn't.
It says hear.
Amen.
It says submit.
Yes.
It says bow.
Yeah.
But yet even God's people, we think that we can find some physiological thing to help us hear the word of God.
Yeah.
Now, don't we?
Yeah.
I've even heard it here. We think we might find some psychological thing that we can do to help us really hear the word of God. No, then opened he their understanding.
Amen.
Or we might think we might find some sociological thing. I got to twiddle my thumbs. I got to do this. I got to do that. No, you're leaning upon yourself.
That's it.
You are not leaning. That is presumption.
There you go.
Not faith.
You're right.
Faith says, "Oh God, open my eyes. Oh God, open my ears.
Amen.
Oh God, open my heart."
Amen.
Think about it. Let me give you a few illustrations of things that are presumption rather than faith. Here's a person who says they believe in God, and they may well believe in God because even we can presume.
Oh yeah.
Even a true believer can presume, but presumption is not faith.
Mm-hmm.
Give you an illustration. Oh God, I got to have a job, and right down yonder is the job I want. I'm trained for that. I'm going to go do that. And then I trust God that he'll just work everything out for me once I do that.
Yeah.
That's presumption.
Yes, sir.
That's presumption. Does he not say, seek ye first the kingdom of God?
Amen.
And his righteousness? And then all this other stuff, even stuff as simple as clothes on your back, food in your mouth, and drink in your mouth.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Leave all that up to God. Trust God for that. Because he didn't tell you where you got to go work.
That's right.
He didn't tell you which store you got to go to buy your groceries. He didn't tell you which store you got to go to buy your clothes. But he does say, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Well, I will get that job right down there. Then I'll just trust God will open up some place for me to go. That's the wrong approach. And I tell you what, in my small repertoire of people I know, I've not seen one person that's approached it that way that's ever benefited from that.
You're right.
Tell me one. Yeah. Anybody, I'm right now, tell me one that's benefited from that approach. Why? Because it's presumption and not faith. Faith must have the clear statement of God. It believes God's word. Joe, it's not our ultimate authority. It's our only authority.
Amen.
And faith leans on nothing more and nothing else than God Almighty's promises in His word. You don't suppose He's promised something to you and then say, I'm going to believe that God's going to give me that. He ain't promised you nothing like that.
That's exactly right.
Hope is connected with faith, and hope that is seen, it ain't hope.
Exactly.
It ain't hope. Mm-hmm. What about this? I've seen this happen. Well, I'm going to find me a spouse. And when I found me a spouse, I just pray God that they come to be a believer.
Oh, yeah.
That's presumption.
Yes, sir.
That ain't faith. Oh, it may sound good. I'm going to trust God that He'll bring him to the faith, Joe. No, that's what he says. He says to believers, how are we supposed to marry? In the Lord. In the Lord. That's the difference between presumption and faith. I'm going to do this, then I'm going to presume. You call it faith, but I'm going to presume, then God will make everything okay afterward.
Exactly.
It don't happen that way.
You're right.
It don't happen that way. That's the difference between presumption and between faith. And whether it be for your children, whether it be for your health, whether it be for everything, no matter what it is, it's always Christ and His truth, Christ and His gospel. Seek ye first the kingdom of God.
Amen.
And His righteousness. Then God will add to you what you need.
Amen. That's right.
Now let me stop and say this. You believe God, and you believe His word, and you believe His promises. You will not get what your flesh desires.
That's right.
You will get what God knows you need.
Amen.
That's right.
But that's the problem with us and our flesh. We want to get what we want first and then just presume and yet call it faith. Well, now God's going to work all this out. Because after all, Romans 8:28 is true, ain't it? All things work together for good. You're exactly right. And what He's going to do is bring you back down into the dusty mud of this waste-howling wilderness once again, so that if you were ever leaning on Him to start with, you will lean on Him again.
Amen.
Because if you ever get to that place where, well, I used to lean, then you ain't leaned the first time.
Exactly.
I don't care whether it's your job. I don't care whether it's a spouse. The scripture says two cannot walk together except they be agreed. They got to agree first before they can even walk together.
Exactly.
Now, you are not going to contradict God Almighty's truth and make something else so and then call it faith. It's presumption.
Right.
Oh, God, save us from presumption. Well, I've got to have a place to live. I need a house. And I just trust God. I believe God. Based on what? Where does He tell you that you are supposed to have your own house?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Where's it at?
Yeah.
He says if you forsake everything, you'll gain a whole lot more than you lost. Houses, lands, and everything. But that's not personal possession.
Yeah.
That's union with the people of God.
Sir.
We have a small group here, but I know this. If my wife and I lost our house today, I know I wouldn't have to live in my car.
Exactly.
Do you believe that?
Yeah.
Do you believe that?
Yeah.
I believe that. Now, that's believing God.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Amen.
That's believing God. Mason, if I lose my job today, when I go back to work, they say, this place is closed down.
Yeah.
Joe, I don't have to worry about whether I'm going to have some food in my belly. I'm sure there's enough people here that love God that can say, we're going to let them people go hungry.
Exactly.
Don't you think so? That's just the way it works. But what we want to presume rather than just believe God.
Yeah.
What did our Lord say? Turn to Matthew. And you know this passage, Matthew chapter 10. And I'm not even going to read the first part of it. Preached on that I don't know how many times. Matthew 10 verse 37. These are our Lord's own words. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And don't let that word worthy frighten you. This is not the worth of merit.
Exactly.
This is the worth of condition, what God Almighty's made you to be.
Exactly.
That's what this is talking about. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. And he that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for what? Not for self's sake. This is not self-sacrifice. This is Christ's sacrifice. For his honor, for his glory. He that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. He that receiveth you receiveth me. So don't come and tell me you're a believer, but you don't care about being with God's people.
There you go.
It don't work that way. It is not so.
That's right.
Well, but there are exceptions. Prove to me one.
Yeah, there you go.
Prove it. I'm based on what this says.
Yeah, exactly.
He that receiveth you will receive me. Mm-hmm. If you receive somebody, that means this. That means this. I have hammered on this and hammered on this and hammered on this. And you know what? I cannot change it one lick. But we preach the truth nonetheless. Why is it here? Why is love so important? Go back now to what the passage I mentioned to you, Matthew chapter 6. Verse 24, getting ready to close down. Now listen at it. No man can serve two masters. Now does anybody think they can contradict that rule?
Exactly.
You cannot. You might think you are.
Oh yeah.
But you won't be. No man can serve two masters. That's just as much inability as John chapter 6 verse 44. No man can come.
Amen.
This is just as much inability. Just as much absolute negativity.
Yes.
No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. What?
That's what I say.
Take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body. Oh boy, how many of us just what I've got to work out. Now I'm not trying to preach against working out, but let me tell you, the Scripture says this: bodily exercise profiteth how much?
Little.
It will profit you. I'm not saying don't do it, but it's not going to bring you closer to God.
Exactly.
It's not going to make you healthier. God Almighty determines your health.
Amen.
God Almighty, I know people that's been exercising, and while they're running exercising, drop dead of a heart attack. Yeah. So that rule don't follow fast.
Exactly.
Does it not?
You're right.
Our life, our being, our very subsistence, what we eat and drink and even put on our backs is all determined by God.
Amen.
Well, I'm going to do this, and I know God's going to bless it. That's presumption, not faith.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Now look, let's go on. What you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on, is not the life. No, not this life, is not the life.
Amen.
Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Oh, how that brings me down to the dust.
Yeah, right.
They got just a little old bitty nest that they build and live in. And who give them that ability? God Almighty give them that knowledge. That knowledge to build that little nest to live in, lay their eggs in. Are ye not much better than they? Now let the people that like hugging trees and animals deal with that one. Look at it. Which of you, by taking thought. Now here you go. Well, I'm going to set my mind to this. No, sir. That's presumption, not faith.
You're right.
Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? Our Lord was tough. He made sure he used illustrations you couldn't break down. Now, I might come up with one. You might fight against it. But I dare you. Try to fight against that one.
There you go.
Do you know that most of us, as far as I know, almost everyone, as we grow older, we don't get taller. We reach a certain height, and you know what happens? We start to bend over and stoop and get shorter.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I've heard them say in the medical field, right?
What they told.
Oh, if I was only 6 feet tall, you'd just be that many, a few more inches full of filth and corruption.
Yeah.
If you're 5'5 now and you're 6 foot tall, you'd just be that many more inches of corruption and filth and deceit. Oh, if I was 50 pounds lighter, you're still going to be full of filth and corruption and deceit.
Yeah.
You thought I was going to say something else, didn't you? If I was 50 pounds heavier, no, lighter. And look, and why take ye thought for raiment?
Yeah.
Yet how many times have I?
Exactly.
How many times have I? I'm not preaching down at you. I'm saying let's beware that we're not exercising presumption rather than leaning on Him by faith.
Amen.
That's what I'm saying. Because look, He's talking to God's people here. Look, consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon, in all of his glory, and we can't even relate to that because we've never really seen it, you know. I mean, you remember when Queen of Sheba came, she said, the half wasn't even told me. But yet our Lord says, concerning these, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, now he's getting to his conclusion concerning this little point in his sermon. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little, what? Faith. All this has to do with faith.
Amen.
Just believe God. Believe God concerning what He says, not what you assume.
Exactly.
Believe God concerning what He says directly in His Word. Again, do not mistake presumption for faith. Faith must have the clear statement of God. Presumption is content to assume things it supposes God might be or that God might do, but without the clear word of God concerning it. And I'm talking about my presumption as well as your presumption. And it goes on and says, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father. That's how I know He's talking to believers. Talking to believers. So I'm not asking you to feel bad about yourself. Just be ashamed of yourself. You don't have to feel bad. If you don't feel bad about yourself all the time, there's something wrong with you. When I wake up in the morning, I drive to work, and sometimes I'm driving to work by myself, and I'm listening to a 45-minute gospel message, and sometimes, Mason, as I'm listening to that glorious truth of God, I feel as though I'm so unclean and undone and unworthy of everything, even to have the job I'm going to. And yet, I can sit around and worry about whether I'm going to have my job or not. Look at what he says. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things.
Amen.
And let me tell you, He'll give it to you in proportion as the way He's designed. For your best and for your good. If it means you lose everything, and you've got to depend upon the charity of your brothers and sisters in Christ.
Exactly.
Well, people said, oh, I don't want to accept charity. That's the only kind I got.
Yeah. There you go. Exactly.
Everything I got, God's given me.
Amen.
Everything. My house, my cars, my clothes, my food, my breath, my heartbeat. God Almighty's given that to me by charity. I've not earned a dime of it.
That's right.
Oh, God help me. And then he says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And that's the whole plethora of it. Whether it's that righteousness He bestows upon men in Christ Jesus, or that righteousness in which we're to walk to honor Him.
Yeah.
It includes it all, not just one part of it.
That's right.
But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and what? And all these things shall be then what? Added. In other words, faith has its priorities straight.
Yeah. Exactly.
Presumption has its own priorities.
You're right.
And it's about me. Me, or it's even about other people. It ain't even about other people. It ain't even worried about what other people are going to eat and going to drink. God will take care of it.
Yes, sir.
Believe Him concerning the clear statement of Scripture. Take, therefore, this is tough, no thought. He didn't even say, Mason, little thought.
That's right. That's right.
Do you know how impossible that is to do? And you hear what I said. How impossible that is to do. That's why we still need repentance.
Yes, sir.
That's why repentance is a good thing, not a bad thing.
That's right.
Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. And I would think, after this, he would say, everything will be okay. Now, wouldn't you? Isn't that kind of the way everything's going? You seek first the kingdom of God, all these things will be added to you, right? Seek the kingdom of God, his righteousness, all these things will be added to you. But look at how he sums it up. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. You know what he's telling us? When you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all hell will break loose.
There you go. Yep. That's it.
That's what he's saying. Don't think then that everything's going to be honky-dory. Don't think that everything all of a sudden is going to be fine. Why? Because God's going to give you what he's ordained for you, not what you want.
Exactly.
And then he starts talking about not judging others. Now, you think there's some connection there?
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Now, see, what most people want to do is don't even mention anything. No, it's ain't about not mention it. He said, you got a problem? Okay. Your brother's got a problem. Deal with your problem first. Then you can help your brother.
Amen.
Exactly. Now, isn't that what he said? That, we see all this flowing? I'm not, again, that's what I said. I'm not up here preaching down to you. I'm preaching to you as one that's in the wilderness just like you are.
Yeah. Exactly.
And it's he that had to come and get me just like he had to come and get you. And he has to bring us up out of that wilderness. And when we come up out of it, it's only going to be by how? Leaning on him.
Amen.
Who is it that leans on him? It's the one that loves him. We make a lot of faith, and rightfully so. But Paul said in Galatians 5 verse 6, faith worketh by love.
Yeah.
And another, I like, there's another word that I like better. Now maybe that's fine for you, but it's faith is energized. That's the
yes.
Greek word. Faith is energized by what? Love. Love. And I'm not talking, it's not talking about L-U-V. It's talking about love for this right here. This right here. Because again, we have a more sure word of prophecy than some great vision that you could have.
That's right.
It's this word right here. And when you believe this word, then that is faith. When you just say, oh God, I'm going to do whatever I want and you take care of me, that's presumption. And I, Mason, I think that's pretty simple. But you know what? It's so hard to walk in.
Yeah.
Remember that? How many times have I called my presumption faith? And then there's times when I thought I presumed, but I was just resting on the Word of God. That's faith.
Yeah.
You know, let me just give you one last example. We hear a lot about ADHD in our day, right?
Oh, yeah.
I'm not a doctor. Psychologist, let alone a psychiatrist. And I would not dare say that that's not a real malady. But you know what? Not only can you not find physiological things that's going to help you spiritually, you can't find psychological things to help you spiritually, nor can you find sociological things to help you spiritually. You're not going to find pharmacological things to help you spiritually either.
You're right.
Well, that person, that little child, they got to. If you give them a pill, they'll be able to listen to the preacher better. That's a lie. That's a lie, because it's going to take a work of God to open their heart, mind, and ears, whether they got ADHD or not.
That's right.
I mean, there was a man that was a lunatic. They'd bind him with fetters and chains. He'd break them and he'd run around naked in the tombs. And we still think today that was just back yonder. No, we're still doing that today.
Exactly.
I will not be bound. Oh, but if we just give them some pill. Or give them some sociological thing to engage in. Or some physiological thing to engage in. Or some psychological thing to engage in. They'd be better off. They might be better off in this world. But they're not going to see anything spiritually. Until God Almighty does what? Casts out the devils. And then only will you find them clothed. Sitting at the feet of Jesus. And in their right mind.
Amen.
It still takes a work of grace just like it did for that fellow back yonder.
Amen. That's it.
And that's just the way it is. Mason, does hearing aids guarantee that you're going to hear more of the Word of God? Now, I wouldn't tell you not to wear your hearing aids, but your hearing aids ain't going to improve your spirituality.
Exactly.
And yet we think that way sometimes.
You're right.
Now, don't we? Give me that little pill. It'll calm me down. No. It just drugs you. Drink you a fifth of whiskey. It'd probably do that too. Huh? And you don't even have to have a prescription for that. Now, that was not a bit of advice. That was a sarcastic remark. But it might be some good advice. Now, that's on that tape, isn't it? Oh, Father, help us in these things. We are so prone to look who is coming up from the wilderness rather than asking the question, am I one that's coming up from the wilderness? Oh, God calls us to lean on Christ. And we know by your grace it will be so in his name. Amen. Maybe that last part won't go on TV.